This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to stay tuned to the St. Pete City Hall broadcast from RadioSt.Pete.com. The City Hall broadcast is a podcast designed to give you an informal look inside your city government. Here is your host, Will Kuntz.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the City Hall broadcast. Will Kuntz here back with you. Joining me, as always, Kevin King, Ben Kirby from the mayor's office.
And guest to be decided.
And guest to be determined. We were supposed to have Mayor Rick Kreisman on today, but he is caught up in a council meeting, I hear.
He is. Busy day. So we may have a special guest join us, and we'll just let
TBD.
TBD.
Sure.
That's how it goes. I wanted to ask you how your Will, how your comedy show went at the Hollander.
I think it went okay. I mean, it's a little bizarre because, first of all, comedy should not be seen in daylight, I feel like. And it's by a pool. There's people literally standing in a pool watching somebody, not on a stage, but out just on the pool deck, just with a microphone talking jokes.
Is there at least a brick wall behind them?
No. Well, kind of, yeah, actually.
Okay. That's a little better.
That building next to him is
brick. Here's what Kevin is really asking is, would the comedy of show been better if Kevin and I had been there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I invited you guys. I was hoping you'd be able to make it, but,
well,
you know.
No, Ben meant in performing talent.
Oh, performing. Yeah. Absolutely not. No. Yes. Yeah, no, definitely not. You guys have your own strong suits, and I don't know if jokes is one of them. But I think it went okay. We raised a few hundred bucks for Pet Pal.
That's so good. We love Pet Pal.
We actually had a 50-50 charity, too, and a lady that won the 50-50 gave it back to Pet Pal. So
that's nice.
They were very happy. Yeah.
So this is kind of an interesting thing. The reason I asked about this, I saw pictures of y'all by the pool.
Yes.
And a couple of the comedian guys, and I'm thinking, is that something that's kind of, and I'm glad y'all are doing it, it feels like it's something kind of missing from our city a little bit. And do cool cities and big cities have a comedy scene that we don't have here yet?
I've been trying. I'm trying to build one. It's a tough racket because when I was running the open mic at Sly Bar, I mean, that mic lasted 2 years, which is really unheard of. The only other mic that I know that went longer is John J. Murray's at Dunedin Brewery. That's been going like 3 or 4 years. It's tough, though. Like, that's why I'm trying to do showcases now as opposed to open mics, because Sly Bar was packed for a long time, but people get sick of hearing the same things over and over again. Mm-hmm. And we don't really have, and the guys that we do have that are better are working in clubs. So that's kind of just the way it goes. But I think definitely comedy would be a big strong suit for the city. And I think every good city has a comedy scene. And we do, by the way.
We're not known for it. We're not
nurturing
it, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know if that's true, because from my success that I had at Sly Bar, a lot of other ones popped up, and that kind of stole some of the thunder there.
Right.
So this city's only big enough for so many, you know. But we also kind of share with Tampa, because comics go back and forth. And then also even some stray into Orlando and some come over here, too.
So is there someone here locally that's like the funniest guy around?
There's a few that are really good. Kyle Roos is really hilarious. He's a tattooer. And I think, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I think he actually might have a television show coming up here pretty soon on one of the networks. He's going to do this show called...
You're teasing something.
Yeah, I hope I'm not speaking out of place, but he's going to do, it's called X Marks the Spot. And what it is he's going to interview people who have a tattoo of their significant others that was an X now, or is an X now. And he's going to cover that up.
I can't believe I can be on the show.
Yeah.
That sound you heard was me patting Ben on the back.
I know, I heard. So he's going to cover that up, that tattoo, get the story behind it, and then do some stand-up in between.
Okay,
so Kyle's great. Matt Fernandez is really funny. He's been featured on, his Twitter's really good, and he's been featured on Jimmy Kimmel, Ellen.
These are local guys.
These are all local guys, yeah.
Nice.
J.B. Ball's One Florida.
Hey! This is a family.
That's his name. Yeah, it's his surname, so it's all right. It's appropriate in this one.
And I know this isn't necessarily City Hall broadcast related, but it kind of is, because we talk about arts and culture in the city, and I think this fits into that category a little bit.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Why we scrimmage to fill some time here until the special guest gets here?
Maybe a little bit, but it is interesting to me. I mean, it seems like, because you're the only guy I know. I think you and Jeff Klein.
And Jeff, I talked to Jeff last week on my show.
And Jeff, by the way, I know Jeff. He's a friend of mine. He's not funny at all.
Really?
Not funny at all.
You don't think so?
No. Jeff, are you listening?
I'll let him know.
I watched his – he puts his things on Facebook.
Yeah.
And he's at the Coconuts Comedy Club.
Yep.
And I watch them all, which – says something about me. Yeah.
Kevin's got a lot of free time.
I don't know. I think it's kind of. I think it's comedy in and of itself that he's not funny.
Yeah, I mean that's true too. There is something special about I also like seeing people struggle.
His shtick, really. Good. I think that's his shtick is he's not funny and
seeing painful.
But he's got
moments.
Courage.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
And seeing those painful moments where people are just silent. That's really something special that you don't get to see very well.
I can't wait till this goes viral.
Just trashing local comics. Yeah, I do it all the time.
So just to get back to the business of City Hall, we last week had a really exciting sort of occasion with the presentation to the Tampa Bay Rays to keep the Rays in St. Pete forever as part of our Baseball Forever initiative. And the mayor, president of the Chamber of Commerce, Deputy Mayor Kanika Tomlin, Rick Musset, who coordinated that program, met with the Rays and said, we want you here forever. Here's why. Here's a 43-page book, letters of corporate support, lots of data that they hadn't seen before, and just galvanizing the community to say, let's not lose this team to another city.
So when we had Rick in here 3 months ago?
Rick Musset.
Yeah.
Probably, yes, a few months ago.
At least a couple months ago, 2 or 3 months ago.
And he was preparing this report that got presented to the Rays yesterday.
Right.
Yeah.
So that took all that time to complete. And then what was in that report, do you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I worked on it. A lot of city staff worked on it. And really, it was about a year ago that we kicked off, more than a year ago, this Baseball Forever initiative, which was this campaign, grassroots campaign. The report was one part of that. And it was a response to the Tampa Bay Rays selection criteria or search criteria. So about a year ago, the Rays said, these are the 6 things that we're looking for. And our 43 pages was answering that. And we would encourage folks to read it themselves at baseballforever.com. You could click on our proposal. It's a really beautiful, if you just like cool pictures of St. Pete, that's in there too, because this is really, this whole thing was an opportunity for us to advertise the city. And, I mean, if nothing else, we've spent the last year telling the media again, the public, the Rays, just how great we are and what our future looks like. This whole situation's a win-win for us because even if, one is we get to talk about the city, and even if the Rays do relocate someday to Tampa, we've got all this land to develop, and we'll still have a team across the bridge. So the mayor has this confidence that we're going to be okay no matter what happens. Having said that, it'd be great if we can develop around a new stadium.
Absolutely. I can't imagine, I know we talked about it last time, but some people may not have heard the last one, so we can talk mm-hmm. about it again. Even as nice as it is out right now in St. Petersburg today, I can't imagine sitting in an outdoor stadium in August and July when it's 96 degrees outside and if it's an afternoon game. Even at night, it's muggy. It's gross.
Right.
In the Trop, you get the nice 74 degrees. I know they want a stadium. I get it. I know that it's not perfect. I've been to other ballparks. I certainly understand.
Right.
But I wish they could figure out a way to do something with the existing stadium that's there, whether it's some sort of retractable roof. But then I've heard that costs even more than just building a dang new stadium.
Yeah, I don't think modifying or renovating any more that the Tropicana Field, the dome, is feasible. But I think when the Rays do build a new stadium, hopefully in St. Pete, it will really be able to shelter you from, you know, the heat, the rain when it comes, and just have a different feel than a dome. It's got to have some type of roof, whether it's translucent or retractable. They want you to feel, I think, like you're outside. And not, you know, we talked about this on that podcast, is, you know, you're kind of hidden inside the Trop, right, from the rest of the city. And I think they want to integrate it and make you feel like you're outside, but they got to have some things to accommodate the fans that are in the stands. And I don't know how that looks right now, but it's not, I don't think it's going to be a traditional dome. I think that's over with, nor is it going to be a traditional outdoor stadium.
Yeah. I think a lot of people too, maybe in the community, are worried about attendance isn't great, you
right.
know, for the Rays. We have one of the least attended organizations in baseball. Not the worst. I think actually the Cleveland Indians were worse than we were.
Yeah, we kind of bounced back and forth with the Indians.
Yeah.
Attendance isn't good, but, and people need to go to the games. I mean, it's, you know, we keep saying that over and over again, support the team.
But even if you look at Yankee Stadium,
yeah.
if on a you know a Wednesday night, those are all bought up. I mean, the game's a sellout. But if you pan across the stadium, it might be half full sometimes.
Yeah,
but
I mean, half those season ticket holders don't show up to every Yankee game, right?
Sure, but, and also a lot of business. I mean, it's New York City. There's tons of businesses there. And I wonder if maybe drawing corporations here to St. Pete, you know, would help with that too. They're going to buy seats. They're going to be giving them away to clients, whatever.
Yeah.
That would definitely be an ace in the hole there.
Part of the mayor's vision is to have more business right on that site redeveloped so people can get out of work and walk into the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, one of the most compelling things about this, and Kevin and I have been swimming in the details of this, we get questions about the money and how you're going to finance a new stadium and who's paying for it and what's it going to look like and is it going to have a roof and where does it go and timeline, you know, all these details are important questions and they're well worth asking. But I think it's really important. I think what yesterday or last week represented, in my mind, the most compelling narrative about keeping the Rays in St. Pete is represented in guys like Kevin. They're St. Pete guys. They grew up here. Their dads, I mean, I've heard Kevin tell 100 stories about his dad taking him to baseball games. He's taking his son to baseball games.
Yep.
And the generation is changing, right? Like, kids are growing up with the Rays. And that, to me, is really compelling. If I'm the owner of the Rays, if I'm the team owner, and I'm just going to keep going while the mayor comes in.
Yeah, so special
popping.
So Ben's point on that is these people are going to start buying tickets.
Yeah, you know, these people are organically homegrown Rays fans, and I think that was really important. The mayor said it in his remarks yesterday or last week at Ferg's, talking about, look, you know, baseball's been here, but Tampa Bay Rays are really what have made us a baseball town.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, Casey King is going to grow up and be a Rays fan organically,
mm-hmm.
Just like you are. And I just think that's, you know, that yesterday really represented that. And yeah, the details are super important. We're going to get into that in the future. But I think it's important for the citizens to take a moment and think, you know what? We're a Rays town. My kids are going to grow up Rays fans, and that's just really important. So with that, I'll shut up and let the mayor say a few words.
Yeah, we got a special pop in. Mayor Rick, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Been on the first one. We missed you.
And sorry about that. I missed getting on the show with you.
I know. Well, glad you're here. And we're talking Rays baseball today.
Right. I love.
You had a big day yesterday.
We had a great day yesterday. You know, yesterday is all about the future, and it's about the future for the Rays and where they can be the most sustainable for the long term and successful, and it's about the future for the city. Because we believe that place for them is right here on that Tropicana Field site, a site that is the future, not only for the team but for the city. When you think about 86 acres, I know if you're someone who loves economic development and you have a chance to see 86 contiguous acres located within blocks of the heart of your downtown, You're grabbing a paper towel because you're having to wipe your drool up, because that is just a dream.
Well, Will's doing that anyway, regardless.
Yeah,
regardless of economic development.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just an opportunity that does not exist in many places, and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, and we have it right here in St. Petersburg.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts to this thing. I think Ben's point was a good one that he just brought up, is that you know, in this area, we have a lot of transplants that come from all over the country that want to live in St. Petersburg.
We do.
And they take their allegiances with them.
Right.
But now with these younger generations of Rays have been here, what, 15
20.
Years?
20 years? Season.
Yep. See, that's now you're building it up. Now yep. you got, you know, 20-year-olds having kids now.
Right.
And, hopefully the right way. And now their kids are going to be raised.
That's right.
And that's a thing that I think is lost on a lot of people, and that's a great point, because you look at teams like the Red Sox and the Cubs and the Yankees, and they've been around for, you know, decades. And so, you know, when that team first came, those adults grew up and they had kids, and their kids had kids, and their kids had had kids. And all of those kids along the way who became, you know, parents themselves and then the grandchildren, they all grew up with that team. It's the only team they knew, and so their allegiance and what was in their hearts was all about that team. You know, if they were a Red Sox fan, they bled the red from the Red Sox, or, you know, if you were a Tigers fan or a Yankees fan, the Yankee blue, whatever it was, that's what you, that was in your soul. And our generation of growing up with baseball in its soul is now just starting to get to that age where they can afford to buy tickets themselves. And I think the next 5 years is really when you're going to see that generation really become ticket purchasers and season ticket holders, because they're going to have starting to, you know, graduating from college, coming back home, or if they're going to school here at USF St. Pete or Eckerd, you know, or St. Pete College, you know, they'll be graduating, getting a job, and they'll start having that capacity, that earning capacity to buy those tickets. And so I think the future, I said it yesterday, the future is just bright. I'm not going to quote the song, but, you know, we are in the Sunshine City. So, you know, it's what better place to have a bright future?
No doubt, no doubt. And I wonder if I wasn't alive when the Bucs came into existence, but I wonder if it was a similar story with the Buccaneers when it came in the league, what, 74?
76.
76.
Yeah. Mayor had season tickets,
I was
right?
an original, my family was an original season ticket holder really? In 1976.
So is there any similarities between, you know, the Bucs and the Rays and then their two, you know, stories coming up?
Yeah, I think there is. You know, I know that I was young in 76 when my family became season ticket holders, and so I grew up during the years that you know, as a teenager, you're most in some ways interested in football as a Bucs fan, and then you know, took over as season ticket holder from my dad when he stopped going to the games and it was too much for him. And so I continued that legacy on. And, you know, I think that's what you're going to see happen here is as this generation grows up, they're either going to take over the tickets or they're going to buy them in addition to the tickets their family has and continue to go to the games because it's what they grew up with. It's what they fell in love with. And it's what, you know, becomes a part of who they are is a sports fan. You know, it becomes a part of your community, of your DNA.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, even for me, when I was a kid, I liked the Cowboys growing up. And then I got to the point where I was like, I'm from Tampa, you know, or from St. Pete. I should be liking the Bucs. But it took me a long time to finally adopt that team. So, I mean, even things like that, of course the Bucs weren't great when I was growing up either.
Well, they certainly weren't in 76. And for those couple of years, it was when we were wearing the bags over our head going to the game.
Yes, I've seen the NFL films with that.
The Yucks bag.
That was brutal. So what was the event? I know it was, you know, the Baseball Forever presenting the info, but who was at the event yesterday?
So making the presentation was myself, Chris Steinacher from the Chamber, Rick Musset, who used to be the city's development administrator, and he was really the guy who was instrumental in helping bring baseball here to begin with. You know, one of the guys who was in on all those meetings and negotiations, and, you know, you talk about a guy whose heart and soul is invested in this team and seeing this team stay here. There aren't many, you could say that about more so than Rick Musset. And of course, my incredibly talented and brilliant deputy mayor, Dr. Kanika Tomlin. And, you know, it was what's beautiful about what the city of St. Petersburg did is it wasn't the city of St. Petersburg. It was the community. Baseball Forever isn't the city's presentation to the Rays and our pitch to the Rays. It's the community. It's the city as a whole, not the government. It was the city government. It was the business community. It was the citizens and the neighborhood residents, and it was the whole community coming together and saying, you guys are important to us, Rays. We want you staying here. We want you in our community. Please don't go.
Mm-hmm. Was there any, I mean, is it purely just a data thing that you handed to them?
No. It was, certainly there was a lot of information, but it was really, I think, our opportunity to tell a story, and it isn't a story about something that's happened in the past. It's a story about the future. And really, that's what this whole process is about. It is about the future. It's about the future of this team and what the future potentially could be for this team. So we were trying to paint a picture of what the future, the next 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years can be for the Tampa Bay Rays franchise and what opportunities they have in front of them, but also give them information about some issues that they had, we knew they had concerns about, you know, transportation and the demographics of our community and the changes that are happening and really doing what we needed to do to address all six of their criteria.
What were their all six?
We had the sense of place
Catalyst for development.
Catalyst for development.
And the five others that you can read at baseballforward.com.
Mayor, you got to go?
I got to run up back upstairs to talk about the ferry, which is also something that we talked to them about because that's an important piece. Thank you.
49% my idea, by the way.
There you go.
Still taking credit for
it. It is an important
piece of
the transportation puzzle, you know, that helps people get back and forth. You know, whether we want to go over to Tampa to go to a Lightning game or folks want to come over from Tampa and go to a Rays game. You know, that ferry is important. And if you haven't ridden it, you've got to the end of the month. Get off your duff and get on the boat.
That's right.
Enjoy duff. It. Now, I you like that word?
All right. Thanks for popping in.
Thanks
for
having me.
We'll do it again
soon,
all right?
You got it.
Go get back to work, Mayor.
So what is the ferry meeting he's going to?
He's going upstairs to present the an update on the ferry to city council.
Is there a opportunity for extended hours on that ferry with that?
I think talks to these guys quite a bit. I think for the rest of this program, the month of April, everything's kind of locked in now.
Yeah.
But this was the pilot program, meaning it's going to stop after next month.
It's
going
to stop April 30th.
It's going to stop at the end of April.
It'll be gone in May. And
gone in May through the summer.
Mayor's going to try to bring it back.
And there's actually some good news came out of Hillsborough County last week.
Yep.
They set aside some money in anticipation of making it permanent, some version of it permanent. But those guys, Mayor and others, are talking about different routes and you know, maybe what two boats would look like or different times and things like that. So that discussion is ongoing.
Yeah, I went to go try to take it one day, but I wanted to go to the Lightning game. I figured that would be perfect for that. But the last one stopped at 7, I think it was. So,
coming back?
Yeah.
No, it stopped. The last one should have come back at 10.
Yeah, but I think it was a weekday.
Oh, it was a weekday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's different. Yeah.
So, yeah, well, that's what happens with only one boat.
Yeah,
that's really why we need two boats to run back and forth.
Some dedicated dock space.
Yeah,
and, you know, a lot of other issues to think about and talk about.
Echo Mayor's remarks for everyone who listens. A few more weeks left. If
What's
you haven't tried it out,
just Google St. Pete Ferry.
Crossbayferry.com.
Crossbayferry.com.
Right on. So something I wanted to bring up quickly. I know we're talking Rays today, but I got my ballot in the mail for the Rowdies, converting the stadium into a major league stadium here. And it seems like a no-brainer because we're not paying for it. It's going to be all private, correct?
Correct. The owner of the Rowdies is willing to pay for there's a fee. Well, one is he paid to get the question on the ballot, which was nice. Then there's a fee to the Rowdy, to the Major League Soccer, and if Major League Soccer chooses the Rowdies as an MLS team, this will allow the city to negotiate a long-term lease with the Rowdies owner, and he has said that he will pay for the expansion of the stadium, which isn't really an expansion; it'll be higher, not a bigger footprint. Which is nice.
Just building some more seats.
More seats and, you know, a better-looking stadium. And he's said he's going to pay for that. So,
which is very refreshing because that's a lot of people's qualms with these major league,
sure,
you know, teams, is that the public ends up footing the bill and they're making all the money. So
that's right.
Why was it even a ballot issue if he was willing to pay for it?
Well, the issue is, and this is for all the people that listen, this is an important question. We get this question all the time. If the ballot question passes in May, that doesn't mean we become an MLS team the next day. All that allows us to do allows the mayor to negotiate that long-term lease. That's all that ballot question really says is, do you want to do this? Do you want to renegotiate this lease so that Mr. Edwards can put his money in and go ahead and build up the stadium should we get MLS, should we get a Major League Soccer team?
We have to do the referendum because the residents control the waterfront, basically.
That's right.
So our city,
like the people who live in the condos?
No, all the residents of the city charter says that long-term leases go to the voters for approval. There's constraints on building on the waterfront. So because this would be a long-term lease, the voters have to sign off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How much of an investment is he looking to put into that stadium?
I forget the latest number I heard. It's a lot.
A lot of money. Lot of money.
Yeah. It's a little more than the three of us have put together.
That's right.
A lot more, I would imagine. Yeah. Well, it's cool. I mean, I voted yes on it. I'd love to see MLS here. I think it'd be really neat. Soccer is a sport that continues to grow and gain in popularity over here, joining the rest of the world. From a little bit behind, but catching up now. Especially Florida is a big spot, too. I mean, you got the in Brandon, they have that some academy there that a lot of the future Olympians end up.
You ever go to an Orlando game?
I haven't. I want to.
Yeah.
I haven't even been to a Magic game in my life, which is crazy. Wow. I've talked about it a bunch of times, but never made it over there. But, yeah, it's on my to-do list. I've seen Snapchats from people when they go, and it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Rowdy's games are always a blast, too.
They're a lot of fun.
I remember when they first got here, it was the best deal in town, because usually someone would give you a ticket, and then hamburgers were $3 and beers were $4.
Right.
And I would be really full and really intoxicated by the end of them.
Wow.
It's a lot of fun, yeah.
Well, let's end on that.
On that note, on the note of public intoxication.
I guess that's pretty much it. Thanks, guys, for talking. Thanks to Mayor Rick for popping in. Check out the Homemade Broadcast, Sunday 6:15 on RadioSt.Pete.com. I got stickers. I just gave some to the mayor and Ben.
These are nice.
Yes, they came out pretty good, right?
And Kevin.
And if you want one, I will mail them to you at my expense. So email me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com.
Yeah. Can I just say these make great gifts?
They do. They certainly do. Yeah, I'll throw that away for you. That's what I always feel like when I give them to people. They're just going to be like, yeah, thanks.
No, people should ask for the sticker.
I think it's a neat-looking sticker.
It is. It's got a little bit of a Grateful Dead kind of look to it. It's got the city of St. Pete.
St. Petersburg thing.
That thing that we have. That's
the tower, tower. When you're coming down 275 there.
And it says HMB Radio. That means Homemade Broadcast.
It certainly does.
On Facebook, you can find that at /HMB Radio.
Yep. And don't forget to follow Radio St. Pete as well. That's just radio and an STPETE. I don't have any events going on. I guess that's it. CityHallBroadcast.net. You can catch up on old episodes. And we got to start sharing these on Facebook or something, too.
Yeah, we can.
We say that all the time.
We do.
Do share it, man.
Yeah.
Like, it gets in the sun, and I do notice, you know, the bump when it does get shared in the sunblast.
Okay.
But I don't think you could share it on the Facebook.
Okay, we'll look at it.
We
do share
it on Facebook.
We do share it on Facebook.
You do?
Yeah.
I think we do.
Yeah, we do.
I'm gonna double check.
All right.
I'm going to send you guys the logo, too. All right, see you all in 2 weeks. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Radio St. Pete's City Hall Broadcast, an informal look inside your city government. This is Mayor Rick Kreisman inviting you to join us next time for the City Hall Broadcast.